Then. In 1979, the Jenny station at the intersection of SR-32 and the Humboldt Road was still open, but it was staggering badly. OPEC took all the little ones out in the end. The mechanic and owner was Herbert Hugh Bossy, and on that particular day he was over in Lassburg getting his teeth looked after. A bear for his Snickers bars and RC Colas was Hugh Bossy. "No mech on duty because of toothache," said the sign taped in the window of the garage bay. The pump jockey was a high school dropout named Bradley Roach, barely out of his teens. This fellow, 22 years and untold thousands of beers later, would come along and kill the father of a boy who was not then born, crushing him against the side of a Fruithof box, turning him like a spindle, unrolling him like a noisemaker, spinning him almost skinless into the weeds, and leaving his bloody clothes inside out on the highway like a magic trick. But all that is in the yet-to-be. We are in the past now, in the magical land of then. At around 10 o'clock on a morning in July, Brad Roach was sitting in the office of the Jenny station with his feet up, reading Inside View. On the front was a picture of a flying saucer hovering ominously over the White House. The bell in the garage dinged as the tires of a vehicle rolled over the air hose on the tarmac. Brad looked up to see a car, the very one which would spend so many years in the darkness of Shed B, pull up to the second of the station's two pumps. That was the one labeled High Test. It was a beautiful midnight blue Buick, old. It had the big chrome grill and the portholes running up the sides, but in mint condition. The paint sparkled. The windshield sparkled. The chrome sweeping along the body sparkled. And even before the driver opened the door and got out, Bradley Roach knew there was something wrong with it. He just couldn't put his finger on what it was. He dropped his newspaper on the desk. He never would have been allowed to take it out of the desk drawer in the first place if the boss hadn't been over town paying for his sweet tooth, and got up just as the roadmaster's driver opened his door on the far side of the pumps and got out. It had rained heavily the night before, and the roads were still wet, hell, still underwater in some of the low places on the west side of Statler Township, but the sun had come out around 8 o'clock, and by 10, the day was both bright and warm. Nevertheless, the man who got out of the car was dressed in a black trench coat and a large black hat. "Looked like a spy in some old movie," Brad said to Ennis Rafferty an hour or so later, indulging in what was, for him, a flight of poetic fancy. The trench coat, in fact, was so long it nearly dragged on the puddly cement tarmac, and it billowed behind the Buick's driver as he strode toward the side of the station and the sound of Red Fern Stream, which ran behind it. The stream had swelled wonderfully in the previous night's showers. Brad, assuming that the man in the black coat and floppy black hat was headed for the seat of convenience, called, "Bathroom door's open, mister. How much of this jet fuel you want?"
"Fill her up," the customer said.
He spoke in a voice Brad Roach didn't much like. What he told the responding officers later was that the guy sounded like he was talking through a mouth full of jelly. Brad was in a poetical mood for sure. Maybe Hugh being gone for the day had something to do with it.
"Check the Earl?" Brad asked.
By this time his customer had reached the corner of the little white station. Judging by how fast he was moving, Brad figured he had to offload some freight in a hurry.